prayers from the love of God. All right, we're in Genesis chapter 40. And there is no candlestick maker in this chapter, so don't look for him. Candlestick maker.
Oh, yeah.
The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. He's not in here. So that's another story. But I like this story. I like this one. I like the fact that God placed it in here. God has Joseph in jail still, or in prison as we would call it. He's been in prison and will stay in prison for nearly, I'm guessing, about 10 years or so. That's a pretty long time for being an upright, standing feller. But the whole time he's there, God's learning him stuff. He's learning him patience. He's making him a man's man. He's making him able to harden up and endure what he needs to do. Because he's fixing to go through, when he gets out of prison, 7 years of goodness and plentifulness. And then he's going to go through 7 years of hardness. And you got to think, when you're looking at a man, and we ain't got to that chapter yet, but when you're looking at a man in the eye and he says, I don't have nothing left but my horses and my cows, and I can't live with, will you take my horses and cow and give me enough food that I can make it? And then the next year he comes back and he says, now I ain't got nothing left but my land. And Joseph has got to be strong enough to not buckle under that kind of pressure. And he says, well, I'll take your land. And then the next year he says, and I'll take you. And he puts them, and he takes them in order. He takes their crops and their animals and then them. And then eventually Pharaoh owns everything except what the priest owned. So that takes a pretty serious man, and a man that's got to be just, he's got to be honest, he's got to listen to what they're saying to him, and he's got to treat everyone fair. Because if he had treated this group unfair and that group like this, with everybody starving to death, it could have been a terrible revolt. But yet, it doesn't say there was a revolt in Egypt, but everybody came to Joseph for what they needed. So God in jail is teaching Joseph and training Joseph and building Joseph up. That was free, by the way. And so here we go. And it came to pass, after these things, after he'd been in jail for a prison for a little while, and after he'd got sort of in charge of some things and was making prosperous the prison, came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. So it seems here that they had either been the chief butler and the chief baker. Either they themselves had conspired and maybe said, we're going to teach this old king and maybe we'll put something in his food or something like that. Maybe that could have took place. Or maybe someone under them had done something of that nature. But who has to pay for the underlings? The bosses. So the chief butler and the chief baker had offended the king. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers and against the chief of the butler and against the chief baker. And he puts them in the ward. He puts them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard. And if we remember back, unless Potiphar died, the captain of the guard is Potiphar. Unless something had happened during this 8 or 9, 10 year span here where Potiphar might have died and somebody else is the captain of the guard now. So the Pharaoh puts him into the captain of the guard's care, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And we've got to figure here that Potiphar by now has probably either talked to some people in the jail or talked to people, or Joseph maybe possibly himself, and he probably got the full scoop by now about what happened with him and his wife or this, that, and the other. But because of his pride and because of his wife's reputation and this, that, and the other, he couldn't just say, well, let me let you out, because he had a standard to hold up. So he's got Joseph in there, but he's probably doing everything he can to keep Joseph in just the right spots and bless him in just the right ways to keep Joseph going on. But he has Joseph in there, and he puts the butler and the baker under Joseph's care. And he puts them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And he continued a season in ward. Now, a season could have been as much as up to a year where these guys were in there. He was there with them. talking with them, taking care of them, making sure they had their food and their clothes, blankets, whatever they may need. And he seems to have lived somewhere farther down in the prison, farther off. But every day when he got out of his spot, he would come and take care of these guys and make sure all their stuff was taken care of. So the captain of the guard, he was being blessed, says, look, these are the king's guys. Now, it could be the king wants to kill both of them. That could possibly happen. But while he's the king's guys, they're going to get special treatment or be taken care of while they're in here until the king decides what exactly he wants to do with them. It says, and the captain of the guard put Joseph in charge to serve them, and he continued there in the ward for a season. And I've always had this problem in my head, a season. Is that 4 months or 3 months? Because, you know, if you do crops, usually a season is about 3 or 4 months, and you reap it and harvest it, and you're going about. But the commentators that I read said it could have been as much as a year that they were in there. So there's a possibility that these guys had to listen to Joseph and see Joseph for a year. And they dreamed a dream. Not two different nights, but it says they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. So while the baker's over here dreaming, the butler's over here dreaming. They're both dreaming. Who's in charge of dreams, you reckon? The Lord, huh? You don't reckon, I hate to think he's in some of my dreams, but he's in charge of dreams. It says here, and he dreamed a dream, both of them, each in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So both of these men dreamed a dream, and their dreams are very similar, but the outcome is totally drastic for one. They both have three things and three this, and they both say they're doing things for the king, but one of them ends up getting his head cut off, and the other one gets put back into his position. And it says, and Joseph came to them in the morning, and he looked at them, and behold, they were sad. They were perturbed. They were upset. He could tell just by walking in, there's something wrong with these guys. Man, there's something different. There's something bothering them. Both of these guys had this dream, and they couldn't quite figure out what it meant or how it was supposed to play out in their life. And so they're sitting there, I ain't sure how this is going to work. You ever had a dream like that? I said, man, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know what this is about. And he looked at both of them in the morning, and they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sad today? What's the matter with you? In other words, he had some compassion on him. He wanted to try to see if there's anything I can do to make your life a little bit better, or I can fix you up, you know, just let me know. But you look so sad. Tell me what's wrong. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpretation of it. We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpretation. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. In other words, he's not saying, I'm God, and I'll tell you what it is. But he says, the interpretation belongs to God. If you'll just tell me, I'll ask God. Maybe God will show us the answer. Maybe God will help us get some insight into this thing. I mean, God could do that if he wants to. He's the one that brings dreams in. He's the one that sort of prompts us. He's the one that leads us along. He says, maybe God, the dreams belong to God. Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler, seems like the chief butler felt like saying his, but the other guy was worried about, I don't want to be first, because if this is bad news, I don't want to hear it. So the other one seems to say, well, the chief butler said and told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, Joseph, behold, a vine was before me. So we got this vine growing up here. And in the vine were three branches. So right out of the root of the vine, we got three branches popping out. And it was as though it budded. And so we have these three branches popping out, and then the flowers pop out. Well, what comes after flowers? Fruit pops out. So this guy in his dream, he has the root, then he has three branches, then he has flowers, and then he has fruit. He says, in my dream it was before me, and the bud and the blossoms shot forth, and the cluster thereof brought forth ripe grapes. They didn't just take time to season a while. We have roots, we have branches, we have flowers, we have grapes, and now they're ripe grapes. Boy, that's happened pretty quick. That's a quick dream. I mean, he's going through months of thinking right here in just a matter of hours. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes, undoubtedly off the vine. And we understand that probably at that time they didn't just squeeze. Some people say they would just take the grapes in the cluster and they'd take the hand, they'd squish it in the cup and give it to the king. And I don't think they did that. I think they probably had them pressed outside in a winery type thing. And he was the one in charge of making sure they got pressed and make sure they got the right place. But he was the one that took that cup and he placed it in Pharaoh's hand. He says, and then I put the cup in Pharaoh's hand and took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh. That sounds like a pretty good thing right there. Look, I had this vine, I made the grapes. That was my normal job. That's what I did every day. I made sure Pharaoh had his food and his supplies and his cup right there. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. 3 branches or 3 days. That starts scaring me right off the bat. 3 branches or 3 days. Wait a minute. But this is a good interpretation. This is going to be good. But when somebody tells me you got 3 days left, I start saying, huh? Yeah. But anyways, he said, the 3 branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. In other words, when he starts saying, lift up your head, I'm saying, whoa now, is he going to hang me on a tree or what? But then he says, and restore you to your place. He's going to put you right back in the position where you were. Just like you never missed a beat. He's going to forgive you of whatever he was mad at you about. He's going to let you bring the cup to him. He's going to let you press the grapes out. He's going to let you hand it to him. He's going to let you be right there beside him like you used to be. You're going to be forgiven. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to give you back your spot. And then he says, but think of me. Now, he didn't beg him. He didn't plead with him. He didn't just get on his hands and knees. He says, but think of me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Now, he didn't sit there and say, oh, please, please, now I'll show you some good thing. First of all, you got to wait 3 days for the good thing to happen. But anytime God has something going to happen, it happens pretty quick. Anytime we see a good prophet from a bad prophet, the good prophet's thing happens, and the bad prophet's thing don't. But see here, he says, when you get out of here, when it's good with you, when you realize that what I've told you is the truth, how about mentioning me before Pharaoh if you get opportunity? How about telling him that there's a guy down here that would love to get out because he's only in here because he was falsely accused of doing something he didn't do? For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. In other words, he tells him, he says, I was stolen, I was kidnapped, I've been mistreated ever since I got here. He says, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. That's also a typology of Christ. He had done nothing amiss, he had done nothing sinful, he had done nothing weak, he had done nothing to be deserving to be put on a cross or a tree, and yet the people hung him there and beat him and whipped him. So that's another place where you can say, looking, here's a resemblance of what Joseph's going through, the same way Christ also went through the same. There's another typology here. So I have done nothing worthy of what I'm getting, just the same as Christ. except for we know that Joseph was a sinner, whether we ever see anything or not. We know Joseph was. And it sounds so good. Man, that sounds pretty good. So the butler says, man, if that guy's thing was so good, the baker says, mine ought to be pretty good too. Let's see what mine's going to say. Now he's got a little bit of nerve up. He says, well, that was great. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, can't be nothing but good for me too, right? He said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. And behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Now you got three baskets up there. There ain't no way he's reaching up there swatting them out, or can't reach up there and get them out. He's got three baskets up there. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation. He said, I'm ready. Three baskets are 3 days. We got 3 days again. Well, the 3 days for that other guy was pretty good. It's okay. He said, the three baskets are 3 days. Yet, within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off of thee. He didn't say lift up your head. He's going to lift thy head from off of thee. And shall hang thee on a tree. And the bird shall eat thy flesh from off of thee. Now he's still got to wait 3 days for this to pass. He's still probably going to stand in front of Pharaoh or one of Pharaoh's people. And he could have said, hey, guess what? This guy told what happened to me in a dream and told me he was going to do all this stuff. He even didn't say either. Of course, it's kind of hard to ask guys just to get hung off a tree if he's going to give you a good mention to Pharaoh, right? Yeah. And he says, within 3 days thy head shall be lifted off of thee and shall hang thee on a tree. And the bird shall eat thy flesh from off of thee. That don't sound fun. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. Now I'm sitting here, Pharaoh's birthday. They do some kings on their birthdays do some really weird things, huh? Yeah. But it's Pharaoh's birthday. And he's feeling pretty good. And he feels like he wants to get his business taken care of. And he says, and he made a feast unto all his servants. He's having a big party. And he's having fun. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his leadership again. And he gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand, just like the dream said he would. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. God wasn't quite ready for Joseph to get out. God wasn't quite ready for Joseph to be where he's supposed to be yet. He says, but he's on his birthday, and he's got all of his servants there. He's having him a big old party, and he takes the butler. And he says, Mr. Butler, I forgive you. Now there's the cup over there I like to drink out of, and there's the grape bottle I like to get drink out of. Get to serving. But then he says to that baker, he says, oh, baker boy, today your head gets took off, and we're going to hang you out yonder on a tree for 3 days. And I'm going to let the birds eat you. So it came to pass. We're coming to pass in the 41 now. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So if he was in there about 8 years or so, now we're reaching the 10-year mark. So he's right. He went into Egypt at 17, and now he's 30 years old. So by the time he got in there, the time he was in Potiphar's house, the time he was in prison, he's now spent 13 years or so in Egypt. That's enough time to not look quite as boyish and quite as gentle as what his brothers and all would remember him to be like. And it came to pass, at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now we're thinking this river is the River Nile. That's the Egyptian river. And the River Nile is the one that blesses Egypt. And when the river is full and overflows, you have lots of grass and stuff. But when the river is dry and down, it's arid and desert-like, and there's not a lot of grass. So we see we're by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. So right there by the river, that's feeding this meadow, that's full of grass, full of lush grass, deep, and you got these seven kine comes out there, and they're just eating and fat and sassy, slick. You know what a good-looking cow looks like when you see one. I mean, these were A1 choice steak cows. I'm telling you, they was good. And they were in the meadow. And then, behold, seven other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. So now we have 14 kine out there, right? We have seven good ones, seven ill ones, and they're all being furbished out by the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. Now, we normally don't see cows eating cows. I mean, we normally don't see that. So this really had to mess with Pharaoh's head. He says, how did these cows eat these cows? But especially the ill-favored cows ate the fat and sassy cows. And of course, after they ate them, they didn't look no fatter or no sassier than they were before they ate them. That's what you call a pure tea drought. And behold, when Pharaoh woke up and he slept and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. So we got one stalk. And normally you could get 2-3 ears on a stalk maybe if you got some good fertilizer and all going on. But it says here that there were 7 ears on this stalk. This stalk was abundantly blessed. They were abundantly rank, and they were abundantly, every row of corn all the way from the top to the bottom was full. There wasn't a kernel missing. These were perfect ears of corn. They were rank and they were good. And behold, in this same dream, 7 thin ears and blasted. You've seen them kind before too, I guarantee you. I mean, there wasn't no kernels even on the husk hardly. Maybe a couple down at the very bottom, and the husk would be red brown or some color like that. I mean, it looked bad. And he says, and they were thin and blasted with the east wind, and they sprung up after them. So the ill ones came up after the good ones, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh woke up, and behold, it was a dream. And he's sitting here. My skinny cows just ate my good cows. Now my skinny corn just devoured my good corn. I need somebody to tell me what in the world all this is supposed to mean. I need somebody to tell me what's going on. This is not what's supposed to take place. I mean, anything, the stronger should always whip the weaker. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. Of course, we know that this dream came from God because Joseph said so. So his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt. Now, magicians have to know sort of what they want to tell you before they know what they're going to tell you. So they hear all this stuff, and he called all the wise men, therefore, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them for Pharaoh. In other words, this dream is so messed up. If we tell him what we think it means and it don't happen. You remember Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm not even going to tell you the dream. I want you to give me the answer. But nobody ever asks us for nothing like that. Well, at least Pharaoh here gives them the dream. But the dream is so messed up, they say, we ain't got a clue what this thing King, we beside ourselves with this thing. Fat cows don't get eaten by skinny cows. Skinny corn don't eat fat corn. It just don't work that way. They didn't know what to say. They were beside themselves. They had no interpretation to give Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler. The Lord had waited long enough. The Lord says it's time for Joseph to get out. The Lord says, all right, he's my man. Now I got him ready. I got him primed up. The Lord, and he spake to the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. And he's not talking, some people say, well, I remember I was supposed to tell you about Joseph, but I forgot. No, he's sitting here. First of all, I remember what I did wrong, King. And I got put in prison for what I did wrong. And you were right. I should have been there. But while I was there, I remember what I did wrong, but while I was there, yeah, I had a dream. And there was this little Hebrew guy there. And he interpreted my dream. And not only did he interpret my dream, but he interpreted the cook's dream. And he says, and that guy, the baker, he told him he was going to get hung on a tree. Yeah. And you hung him on a tree. But me, he said, in 3 days you were going to put me back into my position. And sure enough, Pharaoh, you put me back into my position. So he says, I remember my faults this day. I remember what I did wrong. And Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. And he and we dreamed each according to the interpretation of the dream. Each one of us had a dream and both of us had a different outcome. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. In other words, he didn't say, well, I think maybe this is going to take place for you, and I'm thinking maybe this is going to take place for you, but when it don't take place, you just let Pharaoh know what happened. No, he says he's going to lift me up. Put me back in my place. But that there other guy, they're going to hang him on a tree out there for 3 days after they take his head off. He says, this man interpreted the dreams to the T. He didn't just almost get it right, sort of, kind of. He told exactly what was going to happen to me. He told exactly what was going to happen to him. There is nobody in the world could do that. Not just hear what you got to say. Only God can give him that kind of knowledge. Then he says, and it came to pass, we've got a lot of coming to pass here, as he interpreted unto us, so it was, he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. In other words, he's saying, Pharaoh, I know you've had some dreams here. But if there's anybody can tell you what they mean, there's that Hebrew guy you got locked up down there in jail. That Hebrew guy who's been down there for a while, he told us our dreams right to the penny. Says, you need to go see him, Mr. Pharaoh. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And he brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he showed himself. Did anybody check their homework, find out if that was true or not? First man to shave in the Bible? Anyways, he's not the first man to shave, but first man mentioned shaving in the Bible. Anyways, I just had to throw that in there. And he came out hastily, and he shaved, and he cleaned himself up. He came out of the dungeon. That sounds like the worst parts of the jail. And he changed his raiment, and he came into Pharaoh. In other words, he didn't come up there nasty and dirty and looking like some bum from off the street. He cleaned up his act. You're coming before the king, you're going to look like you deserve to be in front of the king. So he cleaned up, he shaved, he put on some new raiment, he took a bath. So I don't know how long that took him, but he was clean and sparkly when he got to Pharaoh. You go before a king, you ought to look like you're going before a king. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to its interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Do what? I just heard that you just done two dreams down there at the other jail. I just heard that you interpreted their dreams and told them what's going to happen. And I'm telling you, I hear you can do dreams, and the first thing you can tell me is you're going to say, it's not in me, king. That's a humble, humble guy. Joseph's sitting there, it's not in me. It's in him, that's right. He says, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. In other words, I'll listen to your dream. I'll even let God use me as a channel or whatever you want to call it to get this dream interpreted, but in me myself, I don't have that kind of power. But God, the Creator God, the Holy God, He will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now he's pretty brave there because he's sitting here, I haven't even heard the dream yet and I'm going to give you an answer of peace. That's kind of what Daniel used to do, live long and prosper, O king, and then he'd tell him what's going to go on. He'd say, I'm for you, king. I'm rooting for you, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, but you live long and prosper. So that one didn't make it through tonight, did he? Anyways. God shall give the answer. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the banks of the river. So he's out there amongst it, in the river, by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. I'm sitting out here watching them. Boy, they're so purty and fat and slick. And man, you couldn't find no finer cows than these. These look fabulous. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill. Your favorite, and lean flesh. He said, these are the most sorry looking cows I ever saw in my life. I got seven beautiful ones over here and seven of the sorriest cows I've seen in my life. Such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. In other words, I haven't never seen a cow look that ugly. They were like skeletons walking around with hide on them. They were so lean. I said, I have never seen cows that bad. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat ones. He says, these that were so bony they could hardly walk, walked up to the good-looking ones and just ate them up. Just devoured them. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. In other words, they didn't have a poochy belly or nothing. They still looked like a bag of bones wrapped in skin. You couldn't even tell they had the fat ones ate. He says, I don't know what's going on here. And they'd eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. I'm sitting here. That would pretty well wake you up. You say, man, did I just see what I thought I saw? Man, maybe I got heartburn or something, you know. I got to get up and check this out. Then he says, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this to the magicians, but there was none that they could alert to me. In other words, I told it to all my magicians. I told it to all my wise men. I thought about it. I studied over it. I did everything I know to do. I brought in all my counselors, and they were useless. They didn't have a clue what this dream meant. And they couldn't even declare it to me. They couldn't say, well, king, this, that, or the other. Nope, they didn't have an answer. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. In other words, you didn't have two separate dreams. You have one dream that continued on. You may have woke up, but your dream never stopped. It was steady, the same dream going on. He says, Joseph said, the dream Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what is about to do. In other words, Pharaoh, you're the king. You're the head of this country. God's fixed to show you what he's going to do. God's fixed to tell you what he's going to do with the people of the land. He's going to do with the land, what he's going to do with your government. Everything's going on. God is going to, God, you know, if you ever check through the Bible, God always tells you what he's going to do before he does it. He almost always, and this is what I'm going to do, but if you do this, here's what I'm going to do. And then, see, so I'm going to tell Pharaoh, God's about to show Pharaoh what he's going to do. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout how much of the land? All the land of Egypt. Now, everybody's crops are going to grow. Everybody's fields are going to be full of food. There's not going to be one farm that ain't producing sevenfold or better. I mean, they're going to be getting it. He says, all of Egypt is fixed to grow. Have 7 years of how many? Great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall rise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. In other words, this famine is going to be so bad. You're going to be so lush for 7 years. But when this famine hits, within a couple of years of it getting started, you're going to forget all about the good stuff. Your crops are going to be withered. Your little branches and your creeks are going to be dried up. It's going to be plumb terrible. It's going to consume up the land. The plenty shall be forgot about, and all the plenty shall be that is known in the land for the season of famine known, and it shall be very grievous. So it says that this plenty is going to be gone. It's going to be forgotten about Egypt. The famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. That's going to get to these people. They're going to be looking almost like them ill-favored kind by the time. If somebody doesn't do something, they'll perish. That's how grievous this famine is going to be. So Joseph's going to give him a plan here. He says, that's what's going to happen. That's what's the plan that God's showing you about. But God always says, but you can do something. Now the king could have said, send this old boy back to the jail. But the king listens. He says, and it, for that dream was double unto Pharaoh. Twice. That's how important it was, Pharaoh. God wants to make sure you got it. God wanted to make sure it bothered you. God wanted to make sure you worried about it because God wanted you to do something. God wants you to get involved in this thing or he'd just let it fly by. But it says he did it to you twice because he wanted you to be worried about it. He says it's double unto you twice because this thing is established by God. This wasn't just you fly the bot night, Mother Nature thing, as people talk about on the Weather Channel. This storm or this famine was devised specifically by God because God has 70 or 69 people over there in Canaan that he wants to come to Egypt. Now think about it. You got to keep your head in two places here back at the ranch. Back at the ranch, Jacob and his family sitting there eating dates and got food and they're okay. You couldn't move them if you had a crowbar. They dug in. They ain't moving. But God has a plan. God's got something going on. God wants you to know something, Pharaoh, because God has established this thing. And Pharaoh, it was done to you twice because the thing is established of God, and God will shortly bring it to... In other words, what's fixing to happen? If you lollygag around, you're going to miss it. This 7 years of plenty, if you're waiting around, you're going to say, well, I got time, I'll do this, I'll do that. you'll get all the way through that 7 years before you make a move, and you're going to be in the middle of the famine. He says, I want you to understand, this 7 years of plenty, I don't know how soon it's going to start, but it's going to start pretty soon. Pretty quick. It's going to happen. Now, therefore, now this is not Joseph applying for a job. Now, you would think that he would say, nah, then I told you all this great stuff. I probably could help you out here. But Joseph didn't say that. He said, now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. In other words, Pharaoh, I've told you what the dream means. I told you what God is going to do. I'm going to give you a little bit of a helper here. You need to find you a man who is discreet, who is wise, and who you can put over this business to make sure that this famine don't wipe you out. He says, I don't know who that guy is, Pharaoh, but you need to find that man. You need to look through your wise men, whatever you got going on. You need to pick one out because you need to make something happen now, soon. And then he says, pick you out a man discreet, wise, who is over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt and in the 7 years of plenty. In other words, you set you up some folks over this, you set you up some folks up over that, and you make sure that all these crops that are growing, make sure the people get enough to eat and all that, but you make sure you take up a fifth of it. Make sure you get you 20%. You get you 20% of this thing. And let them gather the food of those good years that come and lay the corn under the hands of Pharaoh and let them keep the food in the cities. In other words, it says, Pharaoh, it's time for you to take charge of this thing. If you just let everybody else do it, they're going to live high on the hog. They're going to party down. Man, we got all the food we can eat. They'll be like the rich man who said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build some more barns. That ain't going to work. You need to take control of this food and get this stuff in. And you're not going to find out the rest till next week. There you go. That's just the way I am. Lucy, pray for us, please.